Amen. Thank you, Karen. What a great way to start off. Beautiful music. Welcome, everybody. We're so glad that you're here today. You're in for a treat. This service is going to be wonderful. We've had our youth mission team lead us in early worship today, and it was so powerful. So we're going to condense the music portion. So our ushers in the back, I don't know if y'all can hear me or not, but let me give you kind of what we're planning on doing. We're going to do one hymn. We'll do a quick welcome, and then we're going to do the offertory hymn right after that. So then we're doing How Great Thou Art. So when we get to that last stanza, that's when you need to come. So it's anticipating a great service today, and welcome all of our guests. We're so glad that you're here, and many of you are here to hear the mission team, but perhaps some of you are here to come and visit or be a part of our church family here at First Baptist Gunnersville. You are welcome, and we're so glad that you're here. So we're going to have a word of prayer, stand and sing and worship the Lord. Dear God, thank you so much for what you've done in the lives of these teenagers and these adults that went on the mission trip, and thank you for their testimonies they shared this morning. Fill them with your spirit and your power as they share again for us in a few minutes. I ask that you'd bless our church family, all the guests that are here today. Just let us meet with you and know how powerful you are. Thank you, God. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a word about Brother Joel. He is off in Russellville, Alabama. Our former youth minister before Warren was Chase Dowdy. He's the pastor there. And my former music intern, one of our young people that grew up in this church, Garrett Booth, is the minister of music. So Joel's over there preaching for their homecoming. And so it's a good opportunity for Joel and Janice to be there and to kind of fellowship with them and for that church family. So we'll pray that God will bless them. Let's stand now as we sing our opening hymn, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. We'll sing the first and the last stanzas.
Son who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Oh, come to the Father. Great things he had taught us, great things he had done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
All right, we're going to take a few minutes to welcome one another. I want to invite our mission team to kind of work your way through the congregation and visit with as many people as possible.
And we didn't do this in the first service, and I know Ken is like, what are you doing right now? But many don't know that today is his birthday. So we are going to sing happy birthday to Brother Ken.
Happy birthday to
We love you, brother.
Thank you so much. Y'all visit with one another in Jesus' name.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. On the last, as you sing, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you have given us. Thanking you, Father, that we could come this morning to your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless our youth and our adults that attended with them, and Father, for you bringing them home safely. Now, Father, we just pray this morning that you would be with our service, men and women. We ask your blessings to be upon them. Bless their families as they wait anxiously for some word, some encouragement from them. And now, dear Father, as we come to this part of the service where we give back to you a portion of that you've so graciously and generously given to us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you. say that wherever we go,
agradecidos que donde sea que vayamos hoy,
we worship the same God.
Adoramos el mismo Dios.
Profession of faith in Jesus, I baptize you, Sam, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Come on, my All that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
Okay, let's pray before we get started sharing. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this opportunity, Lord, to go be your hands, your feet, Lord, just to share with others your love that you first shared with us through your son, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity that this church has provided us to go and have this experience, God. And we just come here this morning just in our hearts, just reciprocating that prayer that Tracy prayed in this video, God, that this not be a mission trip, that we just go to Belize and come home and it's over, Lord. I pray that you will just allow this to continue to manifest in our lives, that we see every day as the mission field in this place of Gunnersville, Alabama, that you have placed us, God. We praise you and thank you that we can have this experience, and then we pray that you will use this to grow us in our faith and our service of you and who you are and what you have called us to, Lord, the gospel. Bringing others to your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness. Lord, we praise you, and we pray that you will just lead and guide us, and everything that is said be glory to you, God. Lord, we lift Joel up to you, we lift Chase up to you, we lift Garrett up to you, and we pray that you will fill them this morning, that you will be with them, speak through them, and just let them enjoy your presence and your spirit around them, God, in all that they do. Bless our time this morning, in Christ's name, amen. All right, so I just wanted to set up, as we roll this video and play, I just wanted, now that I know what everybody's going to say, I just wanted to kind of preface just a few things. We just wanted to come say thanks and share our experiences and what we did there and what we experienced there and what we took back from it. And so we went to, flew into Belize City, drove to San Antonio. We drove to Santa Elena. We stayed in a place called Santa Elena where we had a hotel room there where we would come back every night. And then we'd probably drive 35, 40 minutes to the village of San Antonio. So San Antonio had one road, like if you imagine Gunner Avenue paved, and every other road off of it would be gravel. And it was just houses, and they did have electricity. They did have running water to an extent. Not everybody did, but it was there in some of the main parts of the village. The water was not drinkable, of course. So we went there to serve, to do home visits, to take food to the people in the community there. We went to work with kids at the church that had started there. The lady that you saw talking in the red shirt, she was the one who started a thing called Showers of Glory. Her uncle, I guess it would be. Yeah, I know, but her was one of the first five that were grandfather. Her grandfather was one of the first five men in that village of San Antonio that had ever come to belief in Christ. And so they went and met at a place, and they would pray at a certain place that on land that they owned. And so people came to them. They started the first church there. People came to them. And as some will share, some received healing, some received different things. But on that land that they used to come and pray, Tracy, a descendant of his, has been granted that land and given that land. And she started a kids camp in that same place where they used to come pray called Showers of Glory. So they are in the process of building that and working to build places there. They've got one kind of cabin built with a screened-in porch with a place to eat and a kitchen. And then they've got the woods cleared out to where the kids can play games, and they've got swings and different things. But she wants to invest and pour into that community. And we got to go there and lead a kids camp for 2 days there. Then we went to another church that was where her sister had been and gone and visited, and we went to another village and led a kids camp and kind of did things with them there and took them the little Jesuses We took them a little bit of Jesus, and we gave them the message of Jesus. We told them that this is a gift that we're bringing you, and we talked about gifts that they have received and what's your favorite gift. And the true gift that we were taking them was the gift of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of what God did for us through his son. So that was our time there. We got to experience making, you see guys turning and roasting coffee, roasting peanuts. So we got to do different things and experience different things there and see how they live in the village and things that they make money on doing. So we got to churn our own peanuts and eat peanuts that we had roasted and coffee that we brought back coffee. And the next fundraiser that we have, we've actually brought back Oshmuel coffee that we're going to serve at our next fundraiser. So it's hopefully very good coffee, and so we're excited about that. Everybody loves it. I'm not a big coffee drinker. So anyway, so that is what we did and where we were. And then I'm just going to start, pass it to Lance, and we're just going to share some personal experiences of what we experienced and what we took back.
So let me preface this by saying, if I get emotional, I apologize, but this was an emotional roller coaster kind of week. One thing that really hit off with me, I shared in the first service too, I'm not one of these that's really called to go lay hands and really bring people to Christ, but I feel like I'm the hands and feet of Christ. And in that, when we went to Showers of Glory, one of the big things that we seen firsthand was prayer. And they had prayed and prayed and prayed. And this family is all 11 of Tracy's dad, his brothers, sisters, their whole family are literally chopping the road that's over a quarter of a mile to Showers of Glory. They're chopping it with machetes. And this Mennonite man pulls up, because there's a big Mennonite community there, and he said, God told me I got to cut a road. So I brought my dozer. Y'all show me where the road goes. So we got to see that firsthand. But let me tell you, just as that Mennonite showed up, First Baptist at Gunnersville rolled in down there, and we showed up. And because of you guys and what you guys did for us in the meals and everything, for y'all giving to us, we were able to bless that community and Showers of Glory abundantly. And that is one huge take back that I want you guys to know. You may not have been there, but you guys really provided.
Okay, so we could probably talk for hours upon hours about this trip. There's so much every day, but just going into the trip, just planning to take students internationally and all the paperwork and all that kind of stuff. You know, even the night before, I was, you know, kind of really nervous. Looked at Warren, I was like, oh, I hope this is a good trip for the kids, you know, and just trusting and believing we're supposed to go. But, you know, just sometimes emotions and fear of just kind of the unknown. But so we get there and everything goes, I mean, great. Well, thank you all for the bracelets that y'all are wearing with students' names on them. And there's the prayer and the support, like Lance said, it's just unreal. But when we got there that Sunday morning, we went to a church service, and was really powerful. I won't go into all that right now, but it was just super powerful. And that night, I was asleep, and God woke me up at, I looked at my phone, and it was 3:33. And as soon as I heard that, I mean, I saw that, God told me to turn to John 3:33. So I just wanted to read that for you. It says, whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful, for the one who God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. And when I read that, the words without limit just kind of bolded out at me. And so when Warren woke up a few hours later, that was the first thing I told him about what God had given me. And I said, just get ready, because he's poured out his Spirit without limit this week. So I just knew it was going to be exciting. And I woke up every day, just each day throughout the week, just so excited, almost giddy, like Christmas morning giddy. like, who are you going to put in our path today? What are we going to do? You know, where do we get to go today? You know, things like that. And then God really convicted me of, why do you not live like that every day? You know, it's not just here on this trip. And so that's something that that I really feel like in my personal walk that that I wanted to share. But there was one thing at the first service that I didn't get to share, but I do want to share this, and my mother-in-law reminded me to share this. One of the churches that we went to during the week, it was like by Thursday, and we went to their church, and they're in the process of building another little church beside it because they're outgrowing it. But they were talking about how people have just been coming there from all over, so for him to pray over people. And they said just like last week, somebody had come in a wheelchair and like they prayed over them and all that, and they like walked out of there. And so I'm sitting there in that service, and I'm like, well, I'm not leaving here without him praying over me. And so so when we were leaving, everybody was like getting on the bus and all the things, and I just walk up to him, and I said, hey, will you pray for me? And he said, yes. He said, let me get my wife. And she came over, and Warren, I guess, saw what was going on, so he came out, kind of came over there and stood too. And when she was, when she came up, he said, now she can only, you know, pray. She can only pray in Spanish. And I was like, that's okay, that's fine. So when we were praying in there, everybody kind of prays at the same time. Like I've noticed that, like there, like everybody will just kind of pray at once out loud. And so he and his wife were praying over us, and it was a really powerful prayer. And I had no idea what they were saying, but I thought, Lord, I accept it. And then they could have been telling me I was crazy or something. I don't know. But anyway, I was like, I accept it. I accept it. And then I immediately thought, I really wish there was an interpreter around so I could hear what they're saying, like just so I like know what they're saying. And then all of a sudden, I heard like an English word. And I was like, huh. And then immediately, she starts speaking in proficient English. And she didn't know English. And so... Heather here was like, am I an interpreter? Like, I was like, maybe I'm an interpreter. And so when it was over, I asked Warren, I was like, did you hear her play in English? And he was like, yes. So so it was really powerful because in that prayer, that was a really powerful prayer. It was like God knew that I just, you know, and I was okay with like just accepting whatever that was. But I really wanted to hear it. And he heard me in that. And she just started praying in English. So that was amazing. So one thing, going back to the John 3:33, without limit, that is one thing that was, I think, very evident throughout the week. He did pour his spirit without limit, but it also showed, like, people in those, in the middle of the jungle, how they would say God gave them visions and gave them dreams and they become believers. And one of the people that we witnessed to at a home visit said he hadn't had a visitor in a year, and the last visitor was a missionary. So it was wild to me. There was like story after story about how reminding us that God has no limits, and it was just evident throughout the week. So
this trip was like amazing. One thing that it's like one of my favorite parts was the church service, the first church service. It's very powerful. And one thing I remember the preacher preaching about was how we should always praise God like 100% during worship and not just run through the motions. Just like praise him how he deserves to be praised. And it was also amazing just making connections with the children during VBS and just preaching the gospel to them.
For me, the church service was also probably the most powerful part of the trip. It was the first, so we arrived on Saturday, and Sunday morning we immediately go to this church service, and when we pull up on the bus, I'm like, this is a church? Like, it just looks like a random, fairly small building. But once we get in there, I mean, there's so many people between us and the locals, but it was just amazing to fellowship and feel the Holy Spirit's presence in that room. There were so many people that were vulnerable, just worshiping all out. And as we worshiped, the preacher would come up to certain people and he would just pray over them and he would prophesy through them. And that was incredible to be able to witness. And during that church service, I just really left feeling like I'd been poured into more than I like gave to the church. And that really set the trend for the entire week, like as we served all these people, that yes, we're here serving them, but really it felt like spiritually they were pouring into us more. And I was just so thankful for that.
Thank you. This trip was incredible. Thank you. But yeah, we're very blessed to be able to come here with y'all's support. It was an incredible time. One thing that stuck out to me was before anything was actually planned, we arrived on Saturday and we had just left the airport. And we rode the bus to this lunch place and had a really nice meal. And as we were eating, Warren was talking to this person. He didn't look like a local, but he was there and he was talking to him. And he started gathering up people from the mission group to try and spread the gospel to see, just to spread the gospel and to share the good word. And then he calls me up and then we start ministering to him. And it was just a great and amazing experience to be able to, like, share the gospel without anything planned, without anything, like, expected happening. A big thing that I feel like was a trend for the rest of the trip was expecting the unexpected. Because that, like Heather said, the Spirit goes without limits. And so this was just a very incredible representation of that. So I thought that was just really cool.
Something that I thought was really cool when we were there was just how welcoming everybody was, because so we had these two boys that were like with our group, and one of them was like really excited wanting us to come to his house. So like when we had free time one day, we went to his house and they were just like so excited to show us around. And like their house, it was like super small, like their kitchen was pretty much outside. And it was just, like, nothing compared to, like, houses here and what we live in. And I just thought it was so cool how everybody was, like, just so excited, their whole family. And they were, like, cutting up fruit for us to eat. And they were just, like, really welcoming and opening. Because, like, I know here, like, whenever my mom's like, okay, we have people coming over, like, we're all, like, cleaning and, like, trying to make everything perfect. Like, but they, like, they just didn't care. They were just so excited to have people over and to be able to, like, talk to us and just share with us about their lives, and we could share things with them. So I thought it was cool.
So the biggest thing for me on this trip was definitely prayer. And it was something I felt convicted about while there, because the way I pray compared to how they pray, it was just completely different. And it's definitely something I learned there. But they pray, like, persistently and fully rely on their prayer from the Lord. And it shows, because they get so many answers from him, and they just fully trust in their prayers and know that they will be answered, and they don't have any doubts with God in it. So that was definitely the biggest takeaway for me.
My favorite memory from the trip, he skipped over himself, but my son Sam was baptized on the trip. He actually accepted Jesus and came forward and joined the church a couple of years ago, but we had just not followed through with believer's baptism. It was kind of mine and my husband's fault. We were trying to arrange getting family here, and then time just passed and passed. And so when he found out that there was going to be a body of water, he said, it's time. I'm ready to get baptized. So Warren was able to baptize him, and that was just a really special moment for us. And then I said it on the trip a lot. You know, at home, we tend to say it around kids, but we say, like, it takes a village, like, to raise families. Like, they are a village, and they take care of each other. And they, if they know there's a need, they meet it. It's not like, it's not, hey, it's my sister's friend, but, hey, it's my sister, she'll help her friend. No, it's, I'm going to go help. They said they needed something, they need us to pray. They jump in and take care of everyone in our village.
One of the things we did on the trip was home visits. And this one day we divided up into three groups, and each group was going to visit three different houses. And the locals had arranged or given us a good list of people who needed some home visits. And so my group, we arrived for our third home visit, the last one of the day. Another group was already there. We'd made a mistake on scheduling. And so we're like, okay, well, what are we supposed to do? It actually was exactly how God had lined it up, because we sat and talked for a few minutes, and they said, well, there's one other place we could go visit. And so we was like, all right, we'll go there. And so we're driving on this long dirt road, kind of up this big hill, small mountain, and we see these two ladies on the side of the road. And we stop, and they're actually the ladies we were going to visit. And so we gave them a ride on the bus because they were just walking, and they were still a mile from their house. So they hopped on, rode the bus with us, and we get to their house, and it's comparable like a metal like storage building, I guess. Something you might have for your workshop or a storage shed in the backyard. But they had 10 people living in it, two full families, 10 people, a bunch of kids. And we go, and every house that we visited, we brought them a big bag of food. So we give them this bag of food. They didn't speak English, so one of the locals, Brian, who was with us, he translated. They were speaking in Spanish. And through Brian, they were able to tell us, we just recently moved here from Guatemala. We don't have employment. We don't have any money. We have zero food in the house to feed 10 people. We wake up every single morning and pray for God to provide work, to provide food, and to provide the things that we need. And so that day, we were able to be an answered prayer to them and bring them enough food, you know, probably for a day or two for 10 people. But also the youth were like, hey, we have more food on the bus. So they all ran back to the bus, got in their backpacks, grabbed all their snack food, their peanuts, their cookies, their, like, whatever, their chips, different things they had, and ran and gave them just everything that they had, because while it was such a small amount for the people on the trip, it was, you know, something that was valuable to them and that could help them. And then as we were closing out our time with this family, I was praying over them, but really with the Mayan culture, we were mostly with Mayan people in this part of Belize. And with the Mayan culture, you don't really like pray for someone or over someone, you pray with them. And so they actually pray at the same time. So as I'm praying over them, they're praying right back at me. So like, there's a bunch of voices every time you pray with the locals there. A lot of times it's in a different language. This particular family, when they prayed, they were praying in Guatemalan Mayan dialect. And so our translator, he knew some Mayan, but he didn't know this Mayan. So none of us had any idea what they were praying. But they were physically crying tears, and they were screaming out to God in prayer as I was praying with them. They were just, like, all of them, it was so loud, it was so powerful. Truly felt the Holy Spirit in that moment all around us.
And as Stephen was just saying, the amount of prayer, the types of prayer, it just felt different there. They, you know, I think sometimes I'm guilty of losing sight that in all things we pray, and it became real there. If anybody needs anything, the first response is to pray. They meet and they pray. They meet and they pray, and they trust God, and that's one of the things I got from this entire experience was, you know, we need to remember to pray. We were given this book to accompany us, and on the first night, you know, I was exhausted. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm exhausted. I'm thinking, oh, okay, we've got to read. Let's keep our eyes open. Let's be intentional. Let's be part of this book. And so as I'm reading, and it's giving us scripture, it's also giving us reassurances. And, you know, you list out your fears. Well, all of our group had fears going into this, from whether it's flying or just being rejected, or language barriers, or just the culture in general. We all had fears of tarantulas, you know, just fears of all nature. But by the time we get to day 4 in this book, you see all of those fears start diminishing. And so you see God working throughout the entire week. By day 4, in mine, it's, you know, what ways have you seen God move in your group? And my response were, you know, kids and adults have become comfortable being uncomfortable. And it was just good to see God moving in that way.
To add to what they've said about the idea of community and helping everyone, in this village, it reminds me that, you know, we're here to help everyone, not just blood relatives, but neighbors, strangers, everyone. And even when they didn't have the means to help someone, they were still there. They were still praying. They were still giving anything that they could give. And it didn't matter who it was. Same as when they welcomed us. They welcomed every single one of us as if we were part of their family. And the idea of that, I just wanted to, you know, bring that back and think, you know, I and we have the ability to help so many people here back home like they do in the village of San Antonio.
Something that stuck out to me was a lot of them didn't have much, and a lot of them barely had a roof over their head, and yet they were so joyful and they were so happy, and they didn't have much, but they had God, and that's all that they needed.
I feel like growing up, I've always been like, I don't really want to go to church, but my mom makes me, so it's just like, you know, it was really just a, you know, I have to be there. But seeing and all these kids and everything, it just, how on fire they were to be there and how happy they were to just be in the Word, it just was amazing. And the one thing that will always stick with me is a little boy had came up to me and he said, "Can I tell you something?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "You know, I keep the name tag that I get from these." And I'm like, "Why? It's just like, it's just a piece of paper. Like, why? I don't understand." He said, "Well, every single time I see it and I walk by it, it always meant, like, it always reminds me how much God loves me and how much I love God." And just, I don't know, hearing that and knowing how little they have, it's just amazing how on fire they are, even though they don't have as much, so.
Okay, so what I'm going to share is the home visit I got to go on. It was to the son of the parents that kind of started the church in the community. And the Tibbs family, as you can see on your screen, it's Showers of Glory Camp right there. They are the great-grandchildren of the start of the church. And I got to thinking about this family kind of throughout the week, because my home visit, I want to say, was on Thursday. Mine was toward the end of the week. And I had already met Tracy and Brian and Melissa, and, you know, Tracy and Brian are brother and sister and their parents. And so, and then they got to telling the story of their parents and then their parents. And then I meet the uncle. And I'm like, wow. And I got to thinking about legacy, and I got to thinking about the legacy that I am, because I was not raised in church. And so when we came to First Baptist after I got married and had small children, y'all became like my spiritual family. And so I am a legacy of y'all. And so as I got to thinking about it, I got to thinking about Terry Scott. And I don't know if most of y'all know, but he is very near and dear to me. He used to call me his spiritual daughter. So he went on a mission trip with Ken, and Ken told him that, "Oh, it's great we came to Africa. Go ahead and pat yourself on the back. But if you don't think that there's a mission field in Gunnersville, Alabama, then you've missed the point." And so as I'm on my way home on the plane ride, all I can think about is him. Because I wonder, because he got that speech on the airport as they were leaving Africa. And so I know what he was thinking of, because he called me the next day and said, "Meet me at the church." So I headed down here just like he told me to. And so he told me at that point, I was going through a divorce. And he said, "I pay $1 million to save your family." He was like, "But don't leave me your kids. If anything ever happens to you," he said, I'll take care of them, but don't leave them to me." He's like, "That's not my spiritual gift. That's yours." But, and I said, we were flying home. I just got to thinking about Ken's words to him, that we have a mission field here in Gunnersville. And most of you know, I work at the high school. I'm one of the FCA ambassadors there. I help with worship on the water. And it just pressed more and more on me, like, to be the light there at the high school. And what can I bring there to carry on to the next generation, like the Tibbs family has done? Because by the time all those kids go through that Showers of Glory camp, that one family, that mother and father and their children, will have now touched thousands.
We had a lot of different experiences on our trip, so it's kind of hard to narrow it down. And as you can see from the photos, we were really busy. We did a lot of different things, but part of the trip, part of what we did was, of course, working with people, sharing the gospel, praying with them, people that either didn't know Christ or were unsure about Christ. But we also got to meet with several believers and encourage them in their faith, encourage them in their businesses. The missionary that we went through was really big on, you know, encouraging that sustainable income for these families. So one of the ladies that we met, and you've seen her picture a few times, I'm sure, her name is Des, and she is the volunteer children's minister at the church there in town. But that doesn't pay, and so she needed a job to provide for herself. And she shared with us her testimony that when she finished eighth grade, in Belize, you only get to go to school until eighth grade. After that, you're on your own. You can pay, if you can pay for high school or a trade school, you can go. But so as a 13-year-old, she found out from her parents that they did not have the money to send her to school. And she shared that she was devastated, that she cried for days because she just didn't see any kind of future in sight for what she could do. So she stayed home and took care of her brothers and sisters. And then from there, she went to babysit for a family. But she was leading the children's ministry, but she felt like she wasn't giving the time that she really needed to that ministry. She would just show up on Sunday mornings, worn out, exhausted, because she's been taking care of other people's kids all week, and she just wasn't really giving it her best. So she felt the Lord leading her to lay that job down. And she said, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I had to trust the Lord that he would provide. So she laid down that full-time job, and she began baking out of her house, out of her kitchen, just birthday cakes for people, little things like that. And she talked about the trust that God built in her and the dependency. And she used a quote that I wrote down and I have said many times, if you work in his will, he will work in your works. And so she felt like she was in God's will to be in this children's ministry position, and he would provide. He would give her what she needed to live on. So we got to go and help her get a few of her cakes prepared. We did the decorations for the top of her orders that week. We actually could not even meet in her home. We had 8 people in our group, and we would not fit in her home. So we met in her brother's home, which was slightly larger. And she told us about how there were often many times that she would pray to God. You know, this week I've got a big children's ministry event. I'd imagine it's kind of like our vacation Bible school or something. And she said, so I asked God, no orders. Give me no orders this week. And that just really struck me to see this woman who has so little telling God not to provide income that week, not to provide work because she wants to devote so much of her attention to her ministry. And then she said, we had a great ministry, great time with the children. And then Monday morning I woke up and I prayed, okay, God, give me the orders. And she said, I got 3 cake orders that day. And just to see that dependency that she had. So that was very convicting to me. Fast forward a little bit, a couple days later, we'd had a really long day, really hot day. Alabama's hot, but we can escape to some air conditioning some places. You don't get that in Belize. So the kids were worn out. We were tired. We had done a lot of things that day, but we had one more kids' camp to go to. And in my control nature, I'm looking across the bus. We're wiped. Everybody looks tired and hot and sweaty and ill. And I'm texting Warren saying, hey, we need to stop at a gas station. These kids need like a Gatorade or a Coke or some ice in their water, myself included. And he was like, we don't have time. And so it hit me, and I thought of Des. And I spent the next 20 minutes of the bus ride just praying that God would give us the strength, that God would give us this energy that we needed. And when we got there, he did. And you can see in some of the videos of the kids on the boys' shoulders as they're running around flying kites because they weren't, fast enough to fly the kites themselves. That was that day, and God provided. And that was just one of the things that he really convicted me of is we have so many material blessings, but that can cause me to depend on myself and not the Lord. And to see Des and people like her depending on God for every single need really encouraged me to do the same.
I think that it was really cool that, like, lots of them, they didn't just know the Bible. They didn't just hear the Bible. They actually lived the Bible out in their life, out of church, out of Wednesday night church, out of church gatherings, all that stuff. They actually lived it through, and they relied on God for everything. And I just think that was really cool, and that lots of us need to work on that. So
in Psalm 73:26, it talks about how the Lord is our portion and our strength. So this week, I feel like, or the week that we had our mission, I feel like we had to rely on God a lot more than we realize. Like, while we're here, we still have to rely on him. But when we're out there, we really realize just, it put into perspective how much we truly need him. And it put into perspective how much they relied on him too. Because he's our portion, he's our provider. And without him, we would have nothing. And he got us through those long, hard days when it seemed like we were just wiped out and we weren't able to get any farther. But thanks to him, we were able to make it throughout the day through prayer and just fellowship with others. So I thought it was really cool to get to see him be our portion, our strength through the whole trip and through other people's lives.
I think what I brought away from this trip the most, there were so many neat moments and precious people, was just that all my life he has been faithful. He was so faithful during this trip to us. But just to see his faithfulness to these people, I said earlier that my first home visit was to, it was a nicer home, but we were just making conversation, and they didn't speak great English. One, there was a lady there that could, but we asked, you know, did they grow their own food? And the lady said no, and her daughter translated and said, we don't have water. We don't have enough water. So we found out that, you know, even though it was a home, you would have, lots of places we saw, you probably wouldn't refer to it as a home, even though that's where they lived. It's kind of just tin up together with holes in it or whatever. But they did have a home that looked like a home, but they didn't have water. So just the most basic things. And to see this lady, you know, they welcomed us. They invited us in. We sat out on the porch. And just to see the love they had. And she was one of those first women that told us, you know, that she had a dream, and that's how she became a believer, that the Lord came to her in a dream. And so she came to Christ. So Heather jokingly said at one point, we just want to walk around on the street and say, who's had a dream? We just want to know, how did you come to know the Lord? So just the most basic things that we take for granted. I mean, you know, you hear a lot, they have so little, but they didn't have water. I mean, you know, just the most basic. And I don't mean they didn't have water. None of the water was drinkable, but they didn't have water coming in. So that just kind of struck me that, you know, when we say we have a lot, we do, but they didn't have water. So God has been faithful to us, and he was faithful through you, or through us by you, to give a lot of these people some of the things they need. So thank you for your support.
So the biggest thing that really stuck out to me this week that lots of us have already said was their happiness and how joyful they were. But that really was just convicting for me, because whenever I look at my own life, I'm like always just waiting for the next thing, and I'm not thankful for what I have right now, and I'm just always wanting more and just waiting for the next thing. But they don't even have like a lot of basic necessities that we have, but we're still wanting more things that we don't really need. So that's just like a big thing that stuck out to me the week of the mission trip.
Wow, what a purpose-driven venture that we said yes to. God invited us to join him and his work, and you answered the Macedonian call. Bibles, we have many Bibles here. More than one. We have Bibles in the pew. We have Bibles at home. Some people collect Bibles. Some people have a Bible that they only take on mission trips. And I'm holding my Bible that I took to Belize. And in it, I took my first mission trip 29 years ago in July. And it was to Poland. Then I went back to Poland. I taught English as a second language in Poland. And so missions got underneath my skin. And I enjoy overseas missions, but not only overseas missions, I enjoy missions right here in our back door. I serve as a hospice chaplain down at Shepherd's Cove. And so God tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ, and we definitely answered the call to missions over in Belize. You did. July, the month of July, will always be precious to me. I think I went to Kosovo in July, and then I went to Gaza Strip in July. And I'm thinking, wow, July, July, July. One of the moments that stood out to me, and I can only ditto what you have said, is that I was, as I was walking back to our bus, I encountered this lady. Her name was Estella. And I asked Estella if she read her Bible. And she said, no. And I asked her, Estella, well, do you have a Bible? I made an assumption that everybody had Bibles. And she said, no, she didn't have a Bible. So I thought, aha. And so I gave the information to Jason, who was the high top CEO. Yes. And anyway, through a series of contacts, he did make a connection with the local pastor there. And then I heard down through the channels that he did give Estella a Bible. Amen. And so that was wonderful. Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth.
My biggest thing was, like, when we went to the kids' camp, we brought kites, and, like, all the kids were playing with kites. And, like, here, if you did that, they wouldn't really appreciate it. Like, we're so caught up in worldly things here, and they just appreciate the little things there. So I felt like it was just, like, a good wake-up call to just sometimes just stop and just think and just be grateful for what we have.
That was heard, kind of like what he said. Biggest thing I took away from the trip was how we're able to learn from them, even though that we went there to teach them about Jesus and all that. So
I thought it was important to realize that how easy we have it here, and we still complain sometimes. And they have it not good at all down there, and they never complain about anything. They're just so grateful for everything.
So we wanted to share with you guys what we were able to do other than the ministry and the manual help and all the other things. But through you guys coming to the fundraisers, the luncheons, the Sunday school classes donating, you personally donating, those kind of things, we were able to raise enough money that we were able to, we had two students that were part of the ministry team there. They are about 13 years old, 13-year-old boys, Ray and Kevin. And like they said earlier, you only get to go to school there till you're in eighth grade. So they were, one of the boys, he and his mom were making candy from literally the coconuts in their yard. And they were doing that. And he was coming, and he was even trying to sell candy for a dollar a piece to our group, which was really the best candy ever. And I literally lived on that candy all week. But anyway, so he would come and try to sell us that candy all week to help to afford to be able to buy his books for school, because he really wanted to go to high school. So what we did as a group, both boys had major needs. So both through your generosity and your giving, you all helped us go and give both of those boys, we scholarship their entire school year. And that even includes, like, their backpacks, their uniforms. They're at their high school. They learn trades to help them to be able to have jobs and things like that. So they were, both boys, when we told them, they just busted out crying. And one had given up a whole week's worth of work going to do something so he could be part of the ministry team there and he just fit right in with our group. Like I told Warren, I was like, I really want to bring them back with me. They're so cute. But they were precious. Our team really has missed them. Also, the Showers of Glory Camp, they have a lot of major project needs there. But one of the things that we did, Gunnersville First Baptist Church, help provide is the water system. They're going to be able to dig like water lines and stuff going to the camp. That was like their tippy top, one of their major needs. So they were so excited about that. And then we were able to give just supplies to different groups and all kinds of things. And then we were able to do an instrument. And I'm going to let Warren tell you about the instrument.
So Tracy's brother Tracy started the Showers of Glory Camp, and her brother volunteers there with her. He does not work. He does not have a job because he is there literally cutting the jungle back and building the things that they need built there. And so he puts all his effort into working there at the Showers of Glory. So because he doesn't work, he doesn't have a lot of things that he would like to have. So we went down. As we were going down, I knew we were going to lead a worship night for the kids and the youth in that area there, and actually several other churches from outside that village came. And so we got to lead, and I thought, well, I would like to buy a guitar and take it and play it and then just leave it for them to use. But then Jason, who is over everything, said, no, they have a guitar that has been donated to them. So when I got down there and I was talking, I was like, Brian had his guitar in his hand. I was like, so is this your guitar that, somebody donated to you? And he's like, no, this is my friends. I borrowed this. And I was like, well, I thought you had a guitar. You don't have your own guitar? And he's like, no, I don't have one, but I play this one. And I was like, wow, man. And so we got to talking, and I talked to Jason. I was like, hey, is there anywhere that has a music store anywhere that we could drive to anywhere in the area? Anywhere, I don't care how far it is. And he said, yeah, about a little over an hour away, there's a guitar store in Belize City, and we could actually go there and do some things that way if you wanted to make a trip that way. And I was like, I'd love to. So with y'all's giving and y'all's ability, we went and bought him a Taylor 110 CE. It's a phenomenal guitar. It's a great guitar that we got to buy and give to him. And on the bus on the way back, he just kept looking and just kept shaking his head. He's like, I can't believe this is real. I can't believe y'all have bought this for me. I can't believe this is mine. And he said, I've always dreamed of owning a Taylor guitar. And he said, and he looked at me and said, our praise team wakes up on Tuesdays and Saturdays at 3 a.m. and we pray to God for musical instruments and music equipment that we can use in our church. And it just broke me down. And like our group has said, their direct needs, they don't have a lot of physical things, but they've got a relationship with the Father. And their prayer life is unbelievable. And they go to him for everything, and he provides their needs for them directly. And it was just so awesome to experience that and see their need for that. And we just wanted to come back here and just tell you that I know that we were the ones there, but you are the ones that provided, and you're the ones that have allowed us to have this opportunity to go. And we want you to know that we are thankful for you, and we are praising God for the opportunity that you allowed us to go. And one of the things that stood out with me also, I really connected with Brian and really got to know him and been messaging him and still talking with him, messaging him this morning. But another thing that happened, we got three seniors that are not here. They've already moved in and gone off to college since we got back from the trip. And one of them, as we were leaving the Showers of Glory camp, was carrying a little girl, and she looked at her and she said, what was the favorite thing you got to today? We had given them kites that they drew on, and they got to keep a kite, and we actually were riding around doing mission work and saw kids running through the village with our kites that we had given them flying it. And so she was thinking the little Jesus, the kite, the little trinkets and bracelets they made. She was like, what's your favorite thing that you got today that you got to, you got to do, or you got to play with, or what was your favorite thing about today? And she looked at her and said, you. And it's like, oh, man. And I mean, so just the fact of being present in other people's lives and being there for other people. And in Galatians 6:7, Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. We're thankful that y'all have allowed us the opportunity to go sow seeds of the Spirit, of the truth, of what God has done for us, and let us experience this experience. And our prayer is that, like we said to start with, that it's not just in Belize, that we come back and we put this to work. Our kids are excited to raise more money, to send to them, to do more things at Showers of Glory, to build the facilities and the things that they need there, and to go back and see how they've grown and what's going on and pour into them more. And we just praise you and thank y'all and thank God for that opportunity. So thank you. So let me... So I just want to close in prayer as Ken comes up. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. Lord, we pray that you will just continue to pour into us and pour your love into us and allow us to take this experience that you have given us and know that you are God, you are real, Lord, and we have seen you work. We have seen your love just pour through us and into us through these people that were there, Lord. We thank you for their faith and for their strength in you and what you have done and who you are, God. And I pray that you will just allow us to come back and use this experience to see that the mission field is right here in Gunnersville, Alabama. It's every day. It's all around us, Lord. And I pray that you will give us discernment to see the needs around us, to take time to be in people's lives, to invest in people, to take time to just to listen to people and what they have going on and share the love that you first shared with us through your son, Jesus, Lord. I thank you for this church, this opportunity. I thank you that I get to be a part of this community, to lead these kids, to lead worship at First Baptist Church and just be blessed. I thank you for the favor that you have shown on me that I get to serve you in this capacity, God. I praise you for every blessing you've given us. Praise you for your son. Just take this experience and grow it and bless it in our lives, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause for what he did in the lives of these young people in Belize. We're going to sing "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified." If you need to make a decision today, if you'd like to be a part of this team here at First Baptist and be a part of our church family, then come forward. Brother Warren will be here. If you need to make some kind of other decisions, now's a good time to come as well. You may stand.